voters turned down progressive candidates in some but not all mayor's races around the country. There were some notable firsts. First Arab American elected to run Dearborn, Michigan. First Asian American mayors in Cincinnati and Boston. And we'll get to Boston. First, though, to Minneapolis, where police reform is a big topic a year after the murder of George Floyd there. Matt Sepik is a reporter with Minnesota Public Radio. And Matt, there was a ballot measure to replace the police department in Minneapolis with an organization focused more on public health issues. I guess it didn't pass?
It did not. Just under 44% of Minneapolis voters approved of it. 56% voted no.
Now, supporters of this measure say it would not have defunded the police, but I mean, I guess that phrase is really out there now. Did that seem to be a factor in how this turned out?
It's really hard to see how that was not a factor. If you remember, 13 days after Derek Chauvin, the former police officer, killed George Floyd, 9 of the 13 city council members stood on a stage at a park near the scene of the murder. At their feet were the words in big block letters, "Defund Police." That was the bumper sticker slogan, and it certainly stuck, even though backers of the ballot measure really tried to get away from it. The measure did say, though, that the proposed public safety agency, had the ballot question passed, could have police officers, quote, and I'm quoting from the ballot language, if necessary. Those two words may have scared away a substantial number of voters who otherwise may have favored a policing overhaul. You know, who would have decided if police are necessary, under what criteria? And of course, now we're dealing with a spike in violent crime, including many homicides in Minneapolis.
Yeah. Now, the mayor, Jacob Frey, did not support this measure. Let's take a listen. Here he is last night.
We're sending a message that real and serious government and true change in our society is not about a hashtag or a slogan.
Now, Mayor Frey, the incumbent Democrat, was up for re-election. Under the rules of how Minneapolis elections work, did he get enough votes?
Well, by those rules, you mean the ranked choice voting system that we have
ranked
here in Minneapolis. Under that system, Mayor only got 43% of first choice votes. His top two challengers, both who were supporters of the police in question that was on the ballot, each got around 20% of first choice votes. But Jacob Frey is likely to win a second term after voters' second and third choices are reallocated to him. At his watch party last night, we just heard him there in that clip. The mayor was very optimistic, but he did stop short of declaring victory.
Okay, and very quickly, what might be next for police reform in Minneapolis?
Well, we could see activists try again with a different ballot question, but the thing that's not getting as much attention is the Department of Justice pattern and practice investigation that's been underway since April that could result in a consent decree where a federal court comes in and forces the Minneapolis Police Department to make changes that we didn't see at the ballot box yesterday.
All right. Matt Sepik is a reporter with Minnesota Public Radio. Matt, thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's go to Boston, where Liberal Democrat Michelle Wu will become the first woman and the first person of color elected mayor, WBUR reporter Simone Rios joins us. A big moment for Boston here. What drove this race and what drove this outcome?
Look, so for two centuries, we've had white mayors in Boston, from Anglo-Saxon to Irish and Italian, and only white men have led this strong mayor city. Boston, for a few decades now, has been majority people of color, but candidates of color have had a hard time getting at the top job. Now that's changed. You had Michelle Wu, a daughter of Taiwanese immigrants, face Anissa Asaibi George, the daughter of a Tunisian immigrant, and now Boston has its first mayor of color. But it's not just about race and identity. The candidates also represented very different constituencies in Boston. The losing candidate, Asaibi George's support base, came from the more conservative, white working class areas in Dorchester and South Boston. And she opposed things like rent control and diverting money from the police department, things that Michelle Wu supported. Mm-hmm. And that more progressive vision really was what resonated with Boston voters.
Well, let's take a listen to the progressive Michelle Wu last night.
From every corner of our city, Boston has spoken. We are ready to meet this moment. We are ready to become a Boston for everyone.
Now, you describe Michelle Wu as, you know, being a progressive. She won the support of left-wing Democrats, important ones, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders. Tell us a little bit more about what's on her to-do list.
Well, first of all, she has 2 weeks to transition to being Boston's next mayor. Another big question is whether she'll be able to deliver on those big promises. She'll have to balance the challenges of addressing the basic needs of a major U.S. city with the goals of transforming institutions like housing, policing, and transportation, as well as addressing climate change. She says Boston is now a Green New Deal city. One of her big policy points is free public transportation, starting by ending fares for students and people in low-income neighborhoods, as really a major tool in the move towards carbon neutrality. She's also talked about diverting police dollars for different community services. And she was the only candidate who outright supported rent control, something that seems to be supported by a majority of Bostonians.
Yeah. And as far as kind of budget and actually pushing these items over the line, I mean, how challenging is it going to be? Rent control, free public transit, all this costs money.
Right. So it's very easy to talk about these huge policy changes. Another thing to get them done, a fare free transit policy would require city, local, and even federal dollars. And on rent control, that would require approval from the state legislature. In the mid-90s, the voters of Massachusetts narrowly chose to ban rent control across the state. So she'll have to go to the legislature to ask for a carve-out so Boston would be exempt from the rent control ban. And the Republican governor, I should say, has to endorse the plan. If he vetoes it, that will require an override. Far from clear whether the votes are there for that. So far, we have very little indication of what a rent control policy would look like or even when there will be a proposal. I should mention that this is only one of a host of policies Michelle Wu is looking at. So a lot to be done by the city's new 36-year-old mayor.
Yeah, with an ambitious list. WBUR's Simone Rios joining us from Boston. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
Okay, quickly, let's check in with Buffalo, New York, where the votes are still being tallied, but incumbent Democrat Byron Brown has declared victory in a write-in campaign against Democratic Socialist India Walton. John Campbell covers New York politics for the USA Today Network. And John, this mayor's race has been tumultuous. Walton beat Brown in the primary, so he had to come back and do a write-in campaign. How did he appear to pull this off?
Well, he made a big deal of India Walton's democratic socialist beliefs, which were used as really a cudgel in that race and used to whip up support for Byron Brown. He purchased thousands of literal rubber stamps to stamp his name onto the ballot to make it easier for voters.
And, oh, so you if know, you're he gave voters the stamp to say, okay, go to the polls and just stamp my name in, and that's legal, I imagine?
You got it. Yeah, and it is. And you know, the votes came in last night, and it was looking about 60-40 for write-in candidates over India Walton. We won't know for sure how many of those write-in votes went to Byron Brown, but the belief is the vast, vast majority of those votes did. We won't know for sure for another 2 weeks.
Sure, yeah. Okay. Well, here's a piece of tape from Brown last night. Let's take a listen.
Today's election was not just a referendum on the direction of the city of Buffalo. It was a referendum on the future of our democracy and our vision for our future.
Now, John, you mentioned India Walton. How much did this race have to do with her and her agenda? She wanted to redirect more than $7 million from the police department elsewhere, and Brown accused her of wanting to defund the police, I gather.
Yeah, Byron Brown did use that very much against India Walton. He had an ad with uniformed members of the police force speaking out against it. India Walton had a robust platform on any number of issues, from housing to policing to rent programs, et cetera, et cetera. But Byron Brown was able to effectively use some of those against her. Now, he did not run much of a campaign against her in the primary. He did not have a ballot line to stay on in November. New York has fusion votings where you can carry multiple ballot lines. But he launched this write-in campaign and saw it through and you know, had support from Republicans, developers, financial support from both of those camps that helped push him through.
Yeah, and real quick, John, what is on his agenda going forward?
Well, he pledged to use his experience to bring Buffalo forward. You know, he made a very big deal of his experience. He's got 4 terms under his belt. This will be his 5th. He made the case that Buffalo was heading in the right direction, and he wants to keep it on that path.
Okay. John Campbell covers New York politics for the USA Today Network. John, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.